And I know that Joe Burrow re-aggravated the calf injury, and that's going to be a major talking point. But it is stunning to me. And yes, they got T. Higgins involved. He found the end zone twice. But Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow, which is such a lethal connection, and a connection that has great synergy going back from their experience at LSU and the instant impact not only Ja'Marr Chase but also Joe Burrow has made with the Cincinnati Bengals that has made
the top online bachelor.
Good evening and welcome to Saints Sports Weekly here on a Monday. 6:03, it's the 18th of September. I'm not a normal voice on Saints Sports Weekly, and I'm sure some people would be okay with that. My name is Ian Wentz. I'm in for John Kane, who will be here in a couple minutes. Joined in studio to talk about Siena Heights sports, of course, Saints legend Fred Smith. Hi, Fred.
Good to see you. I've done Saints Sports Weekly with you. You do it all around here, buddy.
Well, you know, if I have to. And a couple guests in the studio. You look familiar. I don't know everybody's name at Siena like Fred does. Yeah. So could you introduce our guest, Fred?
Well, and you know, see, you are really in luck tonight. You talk about a legend in volleyball. We have one sitting right here. Probably one of the great best hires I ever did when I was AD. We were fortunate to get Kim Barrington, our head coach, who's brought us to new heights. Long career, originally from Pittsburgh, because she wants to get out of here to go watch her Steelers play.
Absolutely.
Me too.
And she was, coached many years at Concordia in Eastern Michigan and has taken our program to new heights. And she brought in one of her players. I'm going to have her introduce the player.
Sure, I've got senior Taylor Wegener tonight, and she comes to us from Ida, Michigan.
Yeah, very familiar territory.
All right, so you, Coach, are in your season. You've started WAC play, and I'll be honest with you, I'm a little surprised.
Yeah, we're all a little.
On the, the not so good side. Could you explain what's going on? I mean, we were talking WAC championships a few weeks ago, and sort of a slow start, it seems like.
The Bengals are 0-2.
Yeah, there you go.
R-E-L-A-X, right?
That's why Relax. You play. That's why you play the games.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You know, it really is. Every team is different every year. Even though you have a lot of returners, you still have to play the games. You know, you still have to work hard. You still have to be consistent. And I think that word has really been our Achilles heel a little bit, attacking wise. We've had a lot of kills and whatever. We've been a little inconsistent with errors and some things defensively. So I think an inconsistency has hurt us. The injury bug has hit us a little bit, you know.
Sure.
But we're just still working to get better each week, and we will. I'm confident of that, and
sure,
we'll finish strong.
Well, yeah, and if you're gonna lose early.
Yeah.
Because by the time the end of the season's here.
I don't know. I don't like losing at all.
Oh, sure.
Come on now.
I know, but if you had to, you know.
Yeah,
I'll give up a couple early losses, you know, for some big wins at the end. And, yes, I think we're capable of that, and we'll build towards that. And I think we're learning a lot from our losses. This young lady here, even though she's a senior and she's probably been one of our most consistent players, she made a transition as a middle blocker to an outside hitter position. And this year she's playing six rotations. So
Wow. She's
learned a lot. And we've added more to her plate, and I think she's learned something every day.
Well, one of the things that we can say, Ian, as I see the legend, the normal host walk in here, John, is that...
Hello, John.
One thing about WAC Conference is there's no nights off. In sports, we find how goofy it is. I remember a week ago we were saying Michigan's quarterback, McCarthy, oh, he's going pro, and then the other night, he throws three picks, so that's
Bowling
sports.
Green.
And against a team, they were favored by 40 points. And the thing with the Saints, which is good, is we start off 8-1, 9-1, but sometimes that can be bad too, because I think as long as you get stunned early, and it didn't help them that they started off tough in the league too, Coach. I don't know what you think.
Well, I agree. You know, and I think, you know, we lost U of M Dearborn, and I think they've played the match of their career.
And you said that down at our prognosis.
You know,
you said, watch out for U of M Dearborn. Remember that, John? I remember.
They're big. You know, they've got like 10 seniors, and it was their home opener. They came out hot, and they stayed hot the entire match.
And we, I think we lost every, the ones we lost were 25-23, I thought.
Absolutely. You know, and we made a great dig in late in a set. Our all-conference setter went up and turned and dumped deep, out by half inch. You know, late in another set, they hit a serve. We all call out. We stand up, lands on the line.
Yeah.
You know, so you get a little bit of that. But, you know, my hat, I told their coach, Eric, I said, I thought their team played great. They earned that one. You know, but it opens your eyes to really what you need to do. And that is you cannot take your foot off the pedal ever. You know, especially our game's so goofy. Yeah. You know, I watched Nebraska and Florida play last night. Florida went up 2-0. Nebraska came back and won in 5, 15, 13 in the fifth.
Wow.
You know, so we call that a reverse sweep.
Sounds like it to me, and I don't know anything about it.
It happens in our sport, you know.
They were talking about it because it's hard to get. Sometimes I was cooking during the start of the Michigan game, and they played Bowling Green, where their volleyball teams, I know, played either Wednesday or Thursday, and Bowling Green was up the first two, and then Michigan roared back, then lost 15-13. So you see more of that because it's a big momentum game, Coach, is what I've noticed about. But it's a momentum game.
It really is. You could get points 5-6 in a row and turn around and give up 5-6 in a row. And
changed a lot of that, too, in some ways.
It has.
You know, but, you know, I don't know. I know you want to get John will get us going on the right track, but I wanted to ask you why I got you. This is kind of like when I coached the three-point line and the shot clock all came in, right? What do you think of rally scoring versus the old style?
I love it. Yeah. It's fast. You know, I think when all the changes were made, the thing that I didn't like at the time was the let or net serve.
Yes.
That was the hardest one because you're just so used to, you know, that ball ticking the net, you just grab it and you go.
Yeah.
And I wasn't so sure that it was good for our game, that ball hitting the net and trickling over. But then that was in the era that Misty May and Kerry Walsh were winning the Olympics.
Yeah.
And I saw one of the first years during the Olympics where Misty was serve receiving and somebody hit one of those jump serves that hit the tape and trickled over. And in the sand from 22 feet, she got that ball up.
Oh, my God.
And after, you know, in the nets, you know, 7'4" and 5'8", you know. So after that, I thought, you know, if Misty May could do that in the sand, there's no reason that we can't do that indoors. So sometimes some of those changes, it's just an attitude, you know. So then we have, in serve receive, we have specific players that are, their job is to look for that. Hey, watch the let's serve. And that's their job to go get it, you know. So you get used to the new rules, just like in football.
Yeah.
You know, you got to figure out how to compete and how to make them work for you and not have them, you know, work for the other guys.
Do you actually maybe spend some time practicing, actually maybe trying to hit the tape with serves?
You know, I think when that rule first changed, I think people did. I'm not concerned with that as much. I want pace on the ball. So I have a little radar gun that I'll bring out occasionally and just make sure that we're serving tough enough.
Makes sense. Yeah.
You know, pace is more important than actually ticking the net and falling in.
Well, and it does fake you out because if you do, you know, we just got done watching tennis with the U.S. Mm-hmm. Open and Wimbledon, and that's always a let, right? Mm-hmm. So it ticks the net, play stopped, and that's how it was for a long time. But I do agree with you, though. It puts pressure on your servers, especially at the lower level, you know, when you watch some high school volleyball. With you guys, I asked you one time about serve percentage, and your serve percentage is you in a good year is what?
Well, our goal is to really be 1-to-1 ratio, one ace per one error.
Gotcha.
You know, which is a pretty high standard. That's pretty hard to do.
It's hard to ace.
You know, but those are our standards.
Right, and usually it's probably 85-90%. You know, it's going to go over. So.
Yeah. Yeah, but you can't serve, you know, what we call soft enough or a lollipop, you know, because then they run it down your throat. We say, you know, you serve a lollipop, we're going to get licked. So you can't do that neither. You know, that's why I bring the radar gun out, and we have to serve usually between 34 and 37 miles per hour to be effective.
With your video analysis, I mean, because now everybody gets online and watches videos, I'm sure you have quarters of the court or whatever you try to serve to, right?
Yes, we do. My assistant coach, Corey, gives zones to all of our servers.
Gotcha.
Sometimes it's a place on the court. Sometimes it's as specific as, hey, serve their left shoulder.
Yeah.
If I'm calling zones, I'll say, hey, I want you to hit number four in her right ear.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes it could be that specific, but yes.
I mean, does it matter depending on the placement of your opponents
It
on
really
the floor?
Does. Sometimes you're trying to ace a particular player. Sometimes you're trying to make two people make a decision as far as whose ball it is.
Yes.
Sometimes you're just trying to get somebody to move the opposite direction. For instance, if there's an outside hitter who wants to move to their left to go attack, you might want to have her go short right to pick up a serve and then make it more difficult for a timing for her to go attack. Sometimes you might want to serve short so that the middle attacker who's coming through that area either has to stop or get around or move to avoid the passer, so it disrupts their pattern of getting prepared to attack. So there's probably half dozen different reasons why to serve where and when.
See, this is not only a coach's show, it's a sports clinic show.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
a clinic.
A lot of people don't know is I always say that volleyball's a lot like football. I mean, I'm a huge football fan. I think for the same reason, mentality-wise, you could watch your defense, you could watch your linebackers. You know, if they're stepping in the A-gap and they take a wrong first step, they're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, the first step.
You know, that first step is crucial. And same with us for passing, defense, attacking. And conversely, when we're standing at the net, our middle blocker's eyes cannot be on the ball. They have to be on our blocker's feet, the attacker's feet, to see if they're going to hit something quick or slow or whatever. So there's a lot more that goes into it than what most people see.
But it's a lot like almost all sports. Mm-hmm. There's matchups.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to win the matchups.
Yep. You have big blockers, you have small blockers, you have slow blockers. You have blockers that might go quick with the middle every time, so you want to go the opposite way. That's what the beauty of watching film is. I love watching film and figuring out how to beat somebody.
Sometimes the football team maybe needs some blockers.
Yeah. Well, the running backs think so.
Right.
Well, Coach, when we visited with you a few weeks ago on our preview show, you had already been to Florida, and you were about ready to play your tournament, which I think we went 4-0.
4-0, yes.
And, and I don't mean to reflect on that, but I don't think people realize it's not only great volleyball, but we're always bringing in teams from Kentucky, Indiana, Wisconsin, and it's great for our community. And it gets you a chance to play against somebody else instead of 20 WAC schools that you know so well. So from there, Coach, did you go right from that to the league?
Right from that to the league, yes.
Yeah, and then
I think we had one other match in there, Huntington, but I don't remember if that was before or after
our tournament.
It was
a Wednesday, because I remember you not wanting to look forward to the league.
It was a Wednesday.
Yeah, so
that was a tough match. I thought that was one of our better played matches as a team.
Right. Well, the good news is no rest for either the weary or the people doing well, because when you got the Wednesday, Friday, Saturday thing, how do you get your work done practice-wise and with that?
Back in the days when I was at Concordia, I looked at Madonna's schedule and I said, okay, they've been pretty successful. I'm going to schedule similarly. We have all these WAC matches and have all these tournaments on the weekends. And back in the day, Madonna would play 60 matches. So I scheduled similarly, being a young, dumb head coach, right? And after a couple weeks, I realized I need to practice more and play less, because we've got things to work on. And playing three league matches in a week is tough, because you can't go in blind. You have to prepare your team for each opponent.
Especially back-to-back.
And then you need time to work on yourselves. So it is a challenge. So, like today, we worked on some things that we need to do, and then we trickled in some things for Rochester. But then I've got two matches Friday, Saturday that I only have one day to prepare for on Thursday. So sometimes I trickle some things in for Saturday on Monday and Tuesday. The team doesn't know it. We just work on a couple things, because I don't want to overload their minds. Hey, this is for Lawrence Tech. This is for Concordia. This is for Rochester. That stuff. So we just talk about Rochester on Monday, Tuesday.
Right.
And then on Thursday, we just talk about our Friday opponent. And then by the time we do scouting reports Saturday morning for our match, I'll say, hey, remember this week when we worked on blah, blah, blah? They do this.
How many weeks It can't be every week as a three.
It's not, and I don't remember what the numbers are.
Right, so you'll have
those
Wednesdays
off. I would guess about
off.
4 weeks of the three matches per week, and then you have a couple weeks where you have either Wednesday, Friday, or Wednesday, Saturday.
And I think, and then we'll get to talking to Taylor, I think that's good for the kids, too. They need to have some time, too, you know, not only to you know, do their homework and this and that, but just mentally. Like this weekend, you go, is it Lawrence Tech Friday, Concordia Saturday?
Yes.
So will you stay or will you just come back to campus?
We come back to campus. Okay. Yeah.
And we know why. Because
but when you talk to Taylor, I just want to give you an idea what their schedule like. She's a nursing major.
Oh, boy.
So she's got clinicals Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So her Wednesday schedule, she's up at 4:30 in the morning to drive an hour to go to work in a hospital setting, and she works all day, and then she comes back and gets on the bus and then travels wherever we go and plays a match until 10 o'clock and then drives, you know, rides back with us. And she does that every week, whether it's a home match or away match. So, you know, these student athletes, you know, really put in the time and really put in the hours. And I think I have four or five senior nursing majors that do that every Wednesday, as well as clinicals Monday and Friday. So it's tough.
Yeah, and it's funny. It was like back, and we didn't, you know, though there are male nurses out there, we didn't have nurses. What we dealt with when I coached basketball was teacher ed, and especially guys that were student teaching and or had the 4 o'clock, certain 4 o'clock student teacher classes we couldn't get out of, and it was tough. And I don't want to shove it to Taylor.
Yep.
Taylor, where are you? Where are your clinicals at?
So on Wednesdays, we go to Toledo, and actually all of our volleyball girls are in the same nursing cohort. Right. So we all carpool together down to Toledo, and do that 6 or 7 hour clinical, and then hop on a bus right after. So.
You know, I think that these ladies, when they graduate, should get like a master's in time management. they can have credit for over the 4 years of doing time management. Mm-hmm. But yeah, absolutely. And Fred, we're going to be back with Taylor. We got to take a break.
Sure.
And we'll be right back after this. You're listening to Saints Sports Weekly here on 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com.
The top online bachelor's degree program in Michigan is now offering a completely online MBA degree. The Siena Heights University MBA will help students hone skills and better develop their talents as ethical business innovators. Business graduates, as well as students from many other majors, including nursing and engineering, are good candidates for the Siena Heights MBA. And no prerequisite entry courses are required. Classes are enrolling now. To find out more, visit start.sienaheights.edu/MBA. Learn what the Siena Effect can do for you.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Hi, this is Marty Nine with Iyett Insurance in Blissfield. Give me a call at 517-486-4381.
At Lenawee Community Mental Health Authority, Children's Services provides evidence-based therapeutic interventions such as parent management training, the organ model, trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, also known as EMDR, and infant mental health. To access our services or utilize our 24/7 crisis line, please call 517-263-8905 or visit us at lcmha.org.
Welcome back inside the cave here on 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com. Saint Sports Weekly continues. Taylor, we get to, she's up now. Wow. I don't know. When do you find time to sleep?
Rarely.
You know?
A few hours.
Well, we were just talking off air. You're studying on the bus. I thought maybe you might try and grab a few Z's on the bus or something.
No. We do work hard for academics, and we do it together, which is super awesome, and we're all super supportive of each other, but it is definitely a difficult task.
So how many are in your little group that are doing clinicals and playing volleyball?
So for the senior class, there's four of us total.
Wow.
Yeah.
Four starters, Fred.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yep.
And as just for our listener, and maybe you can – just help our listeners, Taylor. When you talk about clinicals, that's when we work. You're going down to Toledo Hospital or St. V's, one of those places down there to work. When did you start that in your four-year journey? Because you first have to, you know, take a lot of certainly science classes, everything. They're pretty heavy. But when do you start the clinicals?
So we did clinicals last season as well. We were balancing that, but it wasn't as heavy a load as it is senior year. Like we kind of talked about that senior year, you're kind of kicking it in gear almost. So it's definitely a lot more clinical hours and a lot more time management that we have to do. So that's why I think there's going to be more studying on the bus this year.
So when you... you're from Ida. Mm-hmm. First, talk a little bit about your high school career and your, you know, what happened at Ida. Did you guys have a good program? And how did you get here about Siena, et cetera? Kind of tell us your story a little bit.
Yeah, so I graduated during the COVID year, but played volleyball and basketball all 4 years. Just loved volleyball. I knew right away. My first two seasons, I actually started at Saginaw Valley.
Ah.
Yeah, and then I wanted to be closer to home and found a home environment. I love it here. Ever since I transferred here, I've just felt so welcoming, welcomed, and it's definitely an at-home environment.
So were you involved, did you in their nursing program, or did that come later?
Yeah, so I took prereqs at Saginaw Valley, so that was all my science courses that you were asking about. And then I jumped into Siena and joined the nursing program right away.
Right.
Yep.
And the reason I know, I have a niece that went graduated from Saginaw, she's a nurse practitioner now, so I knew they had nursing. And now, so you're... scope of schools, and you knew nursing was it then right away.
Yeah, I knew my freshman year that I wanted to be a nurse. Okay. So that's been the goal, and as senior year comes around, I realized like how much hard work and how much it takes to be a student athlete. While I mean, you tell people, hey, I'm a nursing major, and they're like, oh my gosh, that's so hard in the first place. But then you tell people that you're also a volleyball player, and they're like, they give you this kind of surprised look, like, how are you even walking and awake right now?
So when you transferred, how was the adjustment from coming from Saginaw to obviously a new team and a new program?
Mm-hmm. So I graduated with Katie Karsten, who is also an Ida alumni. So she kind of helps me ease into it. I also played volleyball with Peyton Osborne, who are two also nursing majors. And then just being from Ida, I knew some Tecumseh girls. And then I knew Kinsey, who's from Onsted, who's another nursing girl. So I kind of knew of people, but they were so welcoming. And we talk about it now, and they're like, I forget that you haven't been here all 4 years, because we just kind of clicked. Like, it was very natural, and I've loved them ever since.
Coach, you know, if you could, how was implementing Taylor within your program? You know, it's not easy. I know the world of college sports now. It's all we talk about is transfer portal, but, you know, we both have coached for a long time, and transfers are many times even more difficult to freshmen because they want to play now and they want to contribute right away. How'd that work and how did you fit Taylor in?
You know, our program doesn't have many transfers historically because our kids stay and graduate.
Right.
Occasionally there's an immediate need. So whether it's a, you know, Division II transfer, JUCO transfer, usually that student athlete must meet a certain need because I wouldn't want a junior transfer and sit on the bench. Mm-hmm. So it's got to be a good fit for both of them. And in Taylor's case, she played at Ida, and her head coach was a former player of mine at Eastern Michigan. So I had done some camps there when she was young. So I knew the type of player she was. And then one of her club coaches was Shayna Munson, who you know, Fred. And Shayna played for me at Eastern. Yeah. So in supporting of Shayna, I would go watch her team play. So I had a chance to evaluate Taylor over many years. So I was aware of what she was physically able to do, and it gave me the advantage.
Right.
You know, I talked earlier about a position change. So when she came to Siena, I said, hey, I really need a sixth rotation outside hitter. And she was a middle blocker most of her career over at Saginaw.
So
she played some outside
quickly,
in club.
Then. You did that when she got here, not after her.
Right when she got here. And I almost said, no, you're never allowed to hit a middle, you know, anything. It was all outside and back row all the time. And I think at Saginaw, she went back and forth a little bit. And that's difficult in an athlete. So I didn't even give her that opportunity. I need a sixth rotation outside hitter. That's what you're going to work on. And, you know, there's different skills, and it's a little bit different in the middle. A lot of times you get one-on-one blocking. On the outside, you always have two blockers, which feels like four some days. You know, so there's some adjustments there. So, you know, we just got her the reps, was patient with her. You know, I think back row came along a little slower, you know, but over time, you know, she's been one of our most consistent passers this year and playing good defense. So a lot of reps, a lot of coaching, and just encouraging her because in the back of my mind, you know, I always thought when I watched her playing that she would make a good outside. It's just that in high school, you know, the bigger kids end up
right,
in the middle.
Right, always in the middle.
So, yeah, it just took some reps and coached them up a little bit and get them that experience. And
how was the adjustment for you, Taylor? You know, you're already adjusting academically, but really going from inside to outside.
It's muscle memory at that point. You know, you're trained from when you're in middle school to be in the middle, and then that jump to the outside, especially at the collegiate level, it makes it 10 times harder. So being able to fill that position and being able to adjust, I think, is a big part of being an all-around player. I think it did take some time, and it was frustrating because growing up as an athlete, I was able to pick things up pretty fast. And I found some struggles and some challenges because, like Coach said, it's just completely different. Like, you get that one-on-one and it's a fast and you're supposed to get off the ground fast versus an outside where you have to see the block more. It has to be more strategic. And I think I'm at the point in my career where I've recognized that, and I feel like I've still made, still am making some adjustments, but I'm happy on the outside.
You know, and also Taylor, you were, you know, you came in and you were part of that group that led us to an 18-2 league record and probably our best season ever. You know, I would have to say. I mean, the coaches had a number of 20-plus win seasons. So now here we are. Starting 8-1, we're 1-3 in the league, and we're ready to start a new streak. Mm-hmm. What is so you've been on the highs and the lows. So talk about the team now and their attitude, and you know what do you think their mindset of your teammates and your team is?
I think going in, we had really high expectations of ourselves. You know, we had that record last year, and we have a lot of returners. Mm-hmm. So we kind of automatically assumed, hey, let's just do it again. Like, we should be able to, like, do it like that. I think it was a disappointment when we started WAC play because we held ourselves to a high expectation. So I think it knocked us down a few confidence points. And I think that we have all the pieces. It's just piecing them together, actually, and getting a flow. That's how we're going to have to turn it around, which, like we were talking early, it's early in the season. Like, no one likes to lose, but sometimes, like, I'm hoping that we're going to learn the most from this and just continue to build.
I can give you some great hope if you don't mind listening. Back in the old days when I coached, we came off our first season ever going to Nationals in 89. We ended up that year 31-7 and went to, there wasn't no divisions then, like there isn't now, but there and we went to the quarterfinals out in Kansas City. We had everybody back, but one player, a guy that came off the bench, at Christmas, we were 11-6. Mm-hmm. And I walked in one day, Coach Sanford and I, and it's changed our old field house. And they were having a team meeting. They were going at it, and we won 18 in a row. Mm-hmm. And when you know, so what will happen sometimes is something synergetic, and then you start, and it goes. You get 1, 2, and I think you guys are on the verge of that. And mm-hmm. Coach also mentioned some injuries. We'll have her talk a little bit about that. But I just wanted to give you that. We lived through it. We couldn't get over. You know, we just were struggling,
right.
And. I always say chemistry, now they call it culture, it's kind of like love. It's either there or it's not, right? And I found in coaching, you know, how do you get that? Well, you can't force it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it sounds like you guys are on the right track. Cause Slam and Cornerstone, that's a
pretty big,
and you swept them.
Right, and I think we can build off of that going on. And like I said, I know we have those pieces, and I think we know that what we're capable of, especially like we're working really hard in practice.
Right.
Like that's where I think we need to gain our most confidence is, even though it sucks sometimes and it's hot and you're working hard, but like working hard in practice gives you more confidence. Hey, I can do this because I know we worked hard.
You know, and I was just thinking again, I haven't been the AD 3.5, 4 years, but I always tell Coach Siljabek, you know, when she was my associate AD, she knew everything. Now I know everything that I'm going to call because somehow we need to get that football crowd to come right over to the, you know, because we got done playing football around 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just trying to think if there's a way we can somehow get some type of special incentive, mostly our students and some people that are just hanging around outside to come to these games. Though we do have a great turnout, I'm just saying that'd be even better. I kind of like that idea.
Well, yeah, I got a couple of, you know, I've said this before. I said I think every coach nowadays should have to take organic chemistry as a course to see how they can do the chemistry on their teams.
Mm-hmm.
But you and all your teammates, not only the ones that are in nursing, but all of them, you must form incredibly strong bonds with one another because you're all in it together and you're always watching everybody's backs. These must be strong, long-lasting, permanent relationships.
Mm-hmm. There's no question. We have great chemistry as a team. We're very goofy and loud bunch, I would say, and we just get along very well.
Well, it's just amazing, and you have to have it really for success, don't you?
I don't think you could find one of those day in the life Super Bowl stories that they run where something happened to a team. You know, I'm a Steeler fan, so I could always tell a Steeler story. You know, last time they won the Super Bowl, they were in Miami, and there was a hurricane. Power went out. They're in a hotel. After so many hours, they run out of cell phone service, right? The battery goes dead. And that's when they sat there all night long and talked and got to know each other about their kids and their families and their experiences. And you hear hearing the guys tell the story, it's where they really started to love each other, and that's crucial. You have to really respect and love that person next to you to work that hard for them.
Right. Absolutely. And that's.
And you hear a lot of those in those NFL stories.
And I think that's where you got to be to play championship level.
Yep. Trust and love go a long way.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, playing for each other, that's a big thing. You know, there's an old saying, don't let your teammates down type of thing. And I think that's why as we look into this weekend, the next 2 weekends, because Coach Kim and I, we share the love of golf. We have the Solheim Cup and then the Ryder Cup. And why is that considered such a pressurized event by these hardened pros, both men and women, that play for millions of dollars. They don't play anything because they don't want to let their teammates down. And that's the beauty of team sports, I think. And obviously, you can also look at it the other way. I was thinking of Taylor here. She's with four people all day. Sometimes you get sick of each other, you know what I mean? I mean, you're there all day. And you have to almost take your hat off, your nursing hat off, and your friend hat off to, you know, this is, you know, practice time, you know?
Well, that's life. Sometimes you have to be truthful. Sometimes it's raw. Sometimes, yeah. You know, sometimes honesty is tough, but, you know, you want your best friends to be honest.
What you mentioned about we lost a young lady early that's just coming back. Is that right?
Yes, Devin Eisenhower was freshman of the year for us, first team all conference and all region, and freshman of the year in the region last year. And what hurts is, you know, you lose an arm at what we call the pin on the outside. It changes what you could do in the middle.
Right.
And since we lost her and we have some inexperience, you know, some other places, then they could overload,
right.
You know, put double and triple blocks on our middles. And I think with just having a couple pin hitters hitting zero or negative occasionally, you know, then that puts more pressure on the middles. Anyways, it just gets you out of whack.
Right.
And when you ask your OH2 to be an OH1 and do OH1 things, you know, it puts more pressure on her as well. So it's, you know, just kind of like in basketball, there's five guys.
Right.
So, you know, you take one out. And now you have a couple people start trying to do somebody else's jobs, and that makes them do their jobs a little poorer.
You know
it just becomes a snowball effect, and it'll be nice when we just get things settled down. And
right, and it says that Devin is starting to come back. And the good news about that is you have other people have now hardened experience, so it makes you deeper. But in the short term, I always felt that injuries in the short term, maybe a game or two or a match or two, you can, but it's the long-term effect that you just talked about.
It is, and it's the longer that it's on film that people could watch.
That's exactly right.
You could get away with it for a match or two, but the longer it's out there, you know, you get exposed.
So Devin is back, right?
And she's back. She's not 100%,
right.
But she hit over 300 on Saturday, and again, that just... Then they key on her, and it gives us our middles have a little bit bigger gaps and allows them to go off a little bit. So you can't win a volleyball match with just one or two people getting double-digit kills. Once you add that third person, you're balanced. Then if you add a fourth person, then you're going to play at a pretty high level.
Okay, we got to take another break. We're going to be back with more. You're listening to Saints Sports Weekly here on 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com.
Want to stay home and finish your degree? One of the top online programs in the nation is right in your backyard. Siena Heights University offers affordable online undergraduate and graduate degree programs, as well as on-ground classes on our Adrian campus for those who want to commute. Financial aid may be available, and ask us about our Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. Stay home, save money, and finish your degree with Siena Heights University. Find out more at siennaheights.edu.
If you're looking to truly make a positive impact on the community, consider a career at Lenawee Community Mental Health Authority. We're seeking dedicated individuals to join our team and provide essential mental health services to our community. Your skills and empathy will be the key to helping individuals on their path to resilience, recovery, wellness, and self-determination. Make a difference where it matters most and be a force for positive change. Apply online at lcmha.org or find us on Indeed. Master's and bachelor's level social workers are highly encouraged to apply.
Here's a great driving tip. Avoid muddy, dirty roads, roads under construction, or really just anything that can make your vehicle dirty. Plain and simple. But if you can't, you must never avoid Magic Fountain Auto Wash. At Magic Fountain Auto Wash, you can save your vehicle from all the damage from that dirt and grime. Why allow the Michigan roads the chance to reduce the value of your vehicle when it can be prevented? Magic Fountain Auto Wash, with self-serve bays and touchless drive-thru, three locations in Adrian, Hudson, and Britton. Make dirty cars a thing of the past.
Welcome back into Saints Sports Weekly here on 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com. All right. We have Carson Wentz. Are you out there, Carson? I appreciate your perseverance. There was a programming glitch in my mind, so that's what happened there, and it happens frequently. But welcome to the show.
Hi, hello.
So, Carson, is she an alum?
She's an alum. She graduated last year, was part of that, one of our best teams in our history. She was a defensive specialist for us.
Okay, well, I'm sure you've got plenty of questions for her.
From Temperance Bedford.
Oh, there you go. So, Carson, what are you doing now that you've graduated from Siena Heights?
Yeah, so I am currently an email marketing coordinator at Midwest Tate /Hoopla, if you've ever heard of it. So I send marketing emails to everyone, and I'm also just recently became a Michigan High School volleyball official.
Wow. Oh, nice. Nice. So that's how you're going to stay in the game, right?
Oh, yes, for sure.
So I don't know anything about Carson, but I think
so
you
Carson,
guys do.
So, Carson, why officiating instead of coaching?
You know, Coach, I wanted something to keep me in the game that I didn't need 1,000 people in my ear telling me how to coach. So I chose the officiating route.
Well, we need good officials in the game, and I know that you understand the game and you understand the rules, and so I'm just as proud as you being up there on that stand with that whistle because you're still part of the tree, and I have a lot of players all over the state and Midwest that are still giving back, so we appreciate that.
Well, thank you.
Have you officiated any games yet, Carson? This is Coach Smith.
Yes, I have. I've done a few tournaments, some varsity tournaments, some JV tournaments. I'll be up at Adrian tomorrow, actually, to ref their Adrian versus Tecumseh game.
Yeah,
so.
Oh, boy. Well, I want to know, you know, would you be able to handle Coach Barrington? I've seen her with the refs. How would you handle her as an official if she started climbing on you a little bit?
Oh, I'd definitely be nervous just because I play for her, and I know how she can be sometimes. But, you know, it's all in good fun. And
just get it right, Carson. Just get it right, and we won't have a problem, right?
Yeah, that too. Plus, what she says usually makes sense, and it's what needs to be called anyway, so.
Hey, Carson, talk about, you know, you came from obviously, and I know, I believe we've talked to you before, but, you know, you came from a volleyball power down there and at Bedford High School, and talk a little bit about your journey at Siena Heights, and both academically and athletically, and what do you miss most about, college?
Yeah, so I played at Bedford. I was on the varsity team for 3 years, and then coach kind of saw me through club, and then I came to Siena, and I had a position switch as well. I was originally a setter, but she needed a libero, so I stepped into that role for a little bit there and then eventually transitioned to a DS. But no matter where I was, I enjoyed playing. I loved playing for coach. A big reason I came to Siena was because of coach and how she believed in me, and yeah, I miss playing every day, especially for Siena and Coach Barrington.
How about some of your friends? Are some of your friends still on the team, and do you stay in touch with those that are out in the work world like yourself?
Oh yeah, all the seniors on the team now are some of my good friends. Taylor I've known for a long time, and Katie and Peyton as well, and you know, Kinsey Wagner, they're all very good friends of mine. And then as for some of the alum, I still keep in contact with them. Me and Victoria Nurkowski are planning to come to Lourdes, actually, and watch the game together. So it's fun to always catch up with old teammates and go support the ones who are still playing.
Have you been following the team this year?
Yes, I've been watching on the streams, and it's sad to see, but I'm hoping that they're going to turn it around here quickly.
That's the beauty of these streams, isn't it? I forget about that. That is great. Academically, I didn't quite hear because of some audio stuff what you're doing now. Can you just repeat that?
Yeah, so I'm an email marketing coordinator at Midwest Tape and Hoopla. So all the marketing emails you get, that's kind of what I do. So.
And did you study business and marketing at Siena?
I actually have a graphic design degree. So I had an internship there over the summer a few years ago, and they didn't have any design positions open, but they liked me and knew that I was a hard worker, so they allowed me to take on this new role. So,
that's right, hire hard workers, good team people.
Yeah,
and that's what you were in our program as well, being able to change positions and do whatever we need any given year. You know, you need a variety of people to make a team.
What you had mentioned early on that you were a libero. So did you get on the court pretty early, or did you have to kind of go through the, normal time? Sometimes, you know, we have people that don't really get playing a lot to their junior year. How did you progress through coach's volleyball program?
Yeah, so I actually was the starting libero my freshman year. So, I knew I had two senior setters ahead of me that year, and I was going to have to work hard if I wanted to set. But I also knew I could play pretty good defense, and coach saw that too. So I got to step into that role fairly early. And then each year I got some playing time and just continued to improve my game and help my team.
Whatever we needed, we could plug Carson in.
Right.
Row.
Academically, faculty-wise, who are some of the, if you can name any faculty that really had a major impact on you at Siena?
Yeah, so Peter Barr and Tricia Holt, and honestly all of the art department, they were key players in my academic career. They helped me with my senior art exhibition and everything like that, so they were really good for me to lean on and help me improve my academics.
Yeah, well, Siena Heights has had a long, long history in art, fine arts, and all that, and that you are using it professionally is fantastic. So what is this job something you're looking at long-term, or do you having you look down the line 10 years from now, what would you really love to be doing?
Not the dream job, but it's definitely a start. I would love to eventually move down south somewhere in the North Carolina region. So that's where I see myself in the next 10 years. And then the dream job would be to do the graphics or the social media and videos and all that type of stuff for a sports team.
Awesome. And you're getting that kind of experience. How did you feel about when you graduated from Siena? Were you becoming the best that you could be?
I believe so. I think there were numerous people all around campus, whether it's faculty or the professors or coaches or my teammates or anyone. They'd all just kind of helped me grow, and they showed me different areas to look into and some different things to discover. So I think all of it kind of helped me be successful shortly after I graduated.
You know, this is maybe a tough question, but you're talking, John and I, we've been around the block so a little bit, to say it kindly. I've worked at Siena, even though I'm part-time now, for 47 years. But this is something that's a question I ask to myself all the time. What if, you know, if you talk to somebody either at Bedford or somebody down in Monroe County, what would you say to them? Why would you go to Siena Heights?
I think you just have that close-knit family atmosphere. You know, it's a very small school, but in my eyes, that's a good thing. You get to know a lot of people, make a lot of connections that can help you on later on in life. You know, you meet people, and that's how you advance your career. So I think that's one important aspect for sure. And then also just you have that individualized attention in classes and that type of thing too, which you don't get at a bigger university.
Well, I'm, you know, I'd like to know, you were a freshman libero. Did you transition into becoming a mentor on the team as you grew older?
I think so. I am not always the most vocal or loudest person on the court, but I try to lead by example. You know, I try to do the right things at all the times and just kind of show my teammates, like, hey, this is what we're supposed to be doing. I might not be loud and in your face about it, but I'm doing what I need to do, and hopefully my teammates follow along in my footsteps.
I'll agree with that. Carson wasn't loud, but if she spoke, you better listen, because she had something very, very specific and very important to say.
I want to shift gears for a second to coach and your philosophy. I've never, I've coached also, but do you have captains? How do you determine your leaders, and how, do they naturally evolve, or what is your role in doing that as a head coach?
Well, we checked in August 5th or 6th or somewhere around there. I don't remember. And we just voted for captains last week.
Wow.
Because I don't want us to vote for a person because they're a senior, or a person because of a position, or a person because of expectations. I want us to get to know each other. I want us to be able to build that trust. I want us to be able to understand each other so that we are making a vote that is an informed decision and vote, not just off the cuff. So we just did that last week, as a matter of fact. And I tell them, vote for one, vote for two, vote for three. You know, I think four is too many to send to the captains, coin flip. But I think when I was a younger coach, I used to laugh because the other team would have three captains. I was like, what, the coach couldn't make up their mind? Just pick one.
Yeah.
You know, and as I got older, I thought, you know what, that we need more than just one leader. You know, so now I like having two or three captains and spread the load, because the person who, if there's just a captain, they need some help. There's a lot to handle, a lot that goes on. And so we haven't named our captains yet. I meant to do that today, but I had a couple nurses that weren't there at the beginning of practice, yeah. And we had to run out at the end of practice. But we will name captains, and we also have some different leadership councils that everybody has a position, has a job, has a role, so that everybody can lead in somehow, some way. Because also you also need to be a good follower as well. And sometimes you learn to be a good follower when you have to be put in a position to be a leader and see what it's like. So we share the wealth.
Carson, I just wanted to ask you, you were a libero as a freshman. Did you remain that way for all your time on the volleyball team at Siena?
No, I eventually did get beat out, but, I never had been a libero before coming to Siena, so I thought it was pretty cool.
She was actually recruited as a setter / DS. But really, she was recruited because I liked her work ethic. I liked how she supported her teammates. I liked how coachable she was. I got to see her do some things in club and work with her in camps and things like that. I thought she was a great teammate. She was a culture kid. And I just want kids like that in my program. And I figured I'd find a role for her. So her freshman year, I don't remember if we had an injury or what, but anyways, we were over at Spring Arbor. We were struggling with our libero, and I tried several different people. And I think Carson was actually maybe the fourth person that I tried at Spring Arbor. And she, put her shoulders down, her nose to the grindstone, and she did a great job. And she kind of won that position like that. And then from that point forward, whether she wore the shirt or if I needed somebody to play middle back or right back or, be a serving specialist, she was just somebody that I knew. She's a kind of a coach's kid. She pays attention. She passes all the quizzes when you're in the huddle and asking about what defense are they in, what are they doing here, blah, blah, blah. She pays attention. And you could count on her. I trusted her for whatever role we needed. But, she could play any back row position. She could set and practice, whatever we need.
Absolutely. And you enjoyed that, Carson, being kind of a jack of all trades?
Yeah, I love playing everywhere. I even told Coach at some practices that she should let me hit sometimes. But, I just love being everywhere and doing my job and doing whatever I could to help the team.
Absolutely. Well, we're getting short on time. And so I want to thank everybody, Carson, Taylor, Coach, for being on the show. I was late to the party, and that was my fault. You have something, I can tell.
Well, all I want to say is this is always one of my favorite shows because we get, you know, with Coach Barrington, we're sitting here with, I think, one of the top NAIA coaches in the country. But not only that, you know, I just, her team is always so academically strong, you know, and the spirit is very, very cool. So this is one of my favorite shows. So no matter you walk in a few minutes late, I think it was a great one. And I'm just so happy. Even though we called you Carson Wentz, you have a job, and Carson Wentz doesn't have a job right now.
But I kept calling her the wrong name.
But,
nobody said anything.
But well, we looked at you. But anyhow.
Well, you just chime in.
Carson, we really thank you for being on the show, and thanks for representing Siena Heights.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, I want to wish you all the best, Carson. As we go forward, you're going to be a tremendous ambassador, along with Taylor, for Siena Heights University, and we wish you all the best moving forward, okay? Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks.
And the next time we talk, we're going to talk about winning 10 of our last 11 or whatnot. You watch in a few weeks. I feel it.
All right. Thanks, Taylor. Thanks, Coach. Great show. And remember now, you can listen to Saints Sports Weekly every Monday night at 6 p.m. here on 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com. Have a great evening.
Looking for a place to host your next party, meeting, reunion, or reception? Let Siena Heights University be your local event destination. Siena Heights has facilities for almost every occasion and budget. Air-conditioned Benincasa Hall has seating for up to 250 people and is perfect for wedding receptions, anniversaries, and reunions. Need a special space for a birthday party? Dominican Hall provides large party rooms and a 125-seat auditorium for viewing videos and hosting a wide variety of entertainment. Have a smaller event? Siena Heights offers a variety of affordable, customized spaces on campus to fit your needs. Be sure to reserve your space now because all facilities are subject to availability. Siena Heights has also partnered with nationally recognized Chartwells to provide a delicious and wide-ranging menu of catering services, giving you a one-stop solution for your special occasion. To reserve your space or to learn more information about all the facility options at Siena Heights University, contact events at siennaheights.edu or visit siennaheights.edu/events. Siena Heights University, where Lenawee County meets.
Attention all students, parents, and educators. It's that time of year again, back to school season. Are you ready to start the new academic year with blazing fast internet? Look no further than D&P Communications, your local internet service provider.
Whether you're attending school on campus or from the comfort of your home, with D&P, you get up to gig speeds from a company you can trust. Switch to D&P Communications by visiting our website or calling 800-311-7340.
Life as a farmer has many sides. That's why we work with Nationwide, the number one farm insurer, to help farmers and ranchers stay profitable and protected. With Nationwide, you can feel confident you're getting coverage that fits your operations needs. Find out how to help protect your farm or ranch. Call us today.
D.S. Johnson & Associates, located in Adrian, Morencia, Monroe. Give them a call today at 517-263-2582.
For your many sides, there's Nationwide. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval. Products and discounts not available to all persons in all states.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
So I think this is the first time since Tom Brady has left the Patriots, Hickey, where I'm actually starting to show my frustration with this football team. And last year I was annoyed, but you still have the honeymoon from all the championships where I felt weird just going off and teeing off on this team. But the approach last year made no sense. And this year you kind of half fixed it, bringing in Bill O'Brien, but still not bringing in number one wide receivers. But I think you understand that I'm very